Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1.
Welcome, everyone, to the Big Blue Insider here on the home of the Wildcats, News Radio 630 WLAP, a Monday edition of the show, July 19th, on a beautiful sunny day in the city of Lexington, Kentucky. I am Billy Rutledge, the normal producer of this show, and we have given Dick Gabriel the entire week off, so hopefully he is on a beach somewhere kicking back and relaxing as we take care of business today. You can follow me on Twitter at Billy R Sports, and you can be a part of the show at any time today. Just give us a call. The phone number is 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. It's a good day for you to join us as we have plenty to talk about. With the beginnings of SEC Media Days down in Birmingham, Alabama, we'll certainly talk about that. Some of the interesting ways that name, image, and likeness has started to creep into college athletics, I want to discuss a little bit more. And also, USA basketball, Team USA basketball, has had an influx of Wildcats, and we'll discuss on how they're leaving their impact on the national team. But we do want to welcome Bo Robinson to the show. Bo is our producer for the day and also a veteran on Sunday Morning Sports Talk here on News Radio 630 WLAP. How are you, Bo?
I am I'm dragging today. not necessarily in a bad way, but as I was telling you coming in here about an hour ago, I'm out of practice over the last year from the fact that I worked yesterday morning and I was up at 5:30, did Sunday Morning Sports Talk, went home, did some work on my house. I'm pulling all the carpet out of my house. Went to go see ZZ Top in Louisville last night. Okay. I didn't get back till a quarter till one this morning back to my house. Worked most of the day, worked around the house and everything. And I am way out of practice from working and going to a concert. So the moral of the story is, kids, get your nap in the day of a concert.
So COVID's got you out of concert.
It does, because it was 17 months since I was at my last concert.
Now, who did you go see?
ZZ Top last night.
And how was that?
Phenomenal.
They still got the long beards, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, they're never going to trim the long beards off. There was one. It was supposed to be at Waterfront Park in Louisville, but they changed it to Iroquois Park. I didn't even know there was an amphitheater there, kind of like a smaller river bend in Cincinnati. So we had a good time. My friend and I, we hit all the timing just right, got out of town, got a great parking spot, got out before the rest of the crowd did, and got back to Lexington. We never stood still in traffic. So ZZ Top was awesome. I've loved them ever since I was little, and they're still kicking, man.
Well, it's good that people are starting to get back out there, right, Bo, and get back to these concerts.
Because I don't know. It looked like the pandemic and quarantine was pretty rough to the over 55 classic rock crowd. We had a great time last night. We did.
I believe it. So Bo will be alongside us for the show today. Again, give us a call at any point, 859-280-2287. Now, Bo, I know that you saw my little practice putting green here
there
in the studio, right?
I have a serious question for you. Are you practicing to be in the Barbasol next year at King's Trace?
You know, it may be 2 years from now, Bo, because, you know, if I could hit two shots every hole, I think I'd play pretty well. I'm not there. I can't do it on the first shot. If we built-in mulligans, I'd be fine.
I am offering my services to be your caddy, okay? It seems like that might be a right combination to get you into a six-hole sudden-death playoff.
You know, you get me in the right mindset, Bo. I think you'd be a fine caddy. But, man, you hit the nail on the head with the finish of the Barbasol Championship yesterday. A six-hole playoff between JT Post and Seamus Powers to end the four-day tournament. Just get this, Bo. You've already played 18 holes for four straight days. You even had to compete in the qualifiers to even get into the tournament. And then you have the same score as someone else and must go to a sudden-death playoff. And you birdie the first hole. Your competitor also birdies the first hole. It goes on for four more holes until finally JT Poston barely goes into the water by inches. That leaves the door open for Seamus Powers to take the win. It is a brutal stuff, and a stuff that many people call a game of inches, right? A game of inches, the ball goes out of bounds into the water. a game of inches. JT Poston goes out of bounds on 15 that sets up a double bogey and allows Seamus Powers to come back and to tie the tournament. But, Bo, my question is, what sport isn't a game of inches? Am I right? I mean, a basketball only goes through the hoop when you shoot it at the correct right dimensions, the right angle. If you're a couple inches off, you don't make the basket. In football, there are boundary lines in which you stay in. And there's plenty of toe tapping that goes on in the end zone. You're telling me football's not a game of inches? It certainly is, especially with the first down marker. So can you think of a sport, Bo, that isn't a game of inches?
I can't think of one.
See, I can't either.
But, you know, horseshoes.
There you go.
You know,
that's it.
Cornhole. Playing pool is a game of inches and angles.
Horseshoes and government work.
Yeah, there you go.
Almost doesn't.
Horse racing.
Doesn't cut it.
Think about horse racing.
Yeah, no, that, I would say that's a game of inches by nose.
By nose, yeah. So that's a good question.
Yeah.
Is there any sport that is not a game of inches?
You could say curling is. You have to curl it into the right part of the ice to knock the stones over to get your points. So if you could think of a game that is not a game of inches, give us a call, 859-280-2287. But that was not the only golf action of this weekend. 24-year-old Colin Morikawa won the British Open by 2 shots over Jordan Spieth. Some people call it the British Open. A lot of people will get mad at you if you call it that. It's called the Open if you live in England or the other side of the sea. 80 miles east of London, England, in a town called Sandwich, England, is where they had this tournament. And Colin Morikawa became the first golfer to win his debut in 2 separate majors. That's right. This was the first Open that Colin Morikawa competed in. And before this, he had won the PGA tournament, which was the first PGA tournament that he had competed in. Colin Morikawa became the 8th golfer ever to win 2 majors under the age of 25. He seems like a young talent who has poise and calm about him, maybe a little bit more so than guys like Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth that we've seen come onto the scene but haven't been able to keep up the highest level of success. So Colin Morikawa, the 24-year-old, has put his names in the likes of Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus with his major victories. But let's keep in mind how dominant Tiger Woods was at the sport of golf. Colin Morikawa now has 5 wins before the age of 25. Since 1970, you've had Sergio Garcia accomplish that feat. You've had Rory McIlroy have 6 wins before the age of 25. Even Jordan Spieth had 11 wins before 25. Tiger Woods had 24. There is just a different level when it comes to the greatness of Tiger Woods and what he was able to do with the sport at a young age. But Colin Morikawa looks ever so much like one of the next stars in golf. We mentioned SEC Media Days kicking off today down in Birmingham, Alabama. They will be from July 19th to the 27th. And the Kentucky Wildcats are set to speak to the media tomorrow. It will be Coach Stoops along with Darian Kennard and Josh Pascal that will speak to the media. Today we saw Florida go, a couple other teams, and also Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, got up and spoke. And he had plenty of things to say, obviously. Let's run through some of the list of what he announced today. And really, his message had to do with COVID and how the conference is starting to get back to normal. Number one, games will not be rescheduled this fall due to COVID. It is up to teams to get vaccinated. If they don't have enough players to play in a game, it is going to result in a forfeit. Now, remember last year, a built-in week was worked in at the end of the season to replay any games that were postponed due to COVID-19. That will not be happening this year, as Greg Sankey made it very clear that, quote, it's not a political football. He also announced that 6 of the 14 teams in the SEC have reached the benchmark of 80% vaccinations. For a program to avoid regular COVID-19 testing and requirements of wearing masks indoors, they must achieve an 85% vaccine threshold. This is a quote from Greg Sankey, quote, "Let me be clear to our fans, to our coaches, to our staff members, and to our student athletes. COVID-19 vaccines are widely available. They've proven to be highly effective. And when people are fully vaccinated We all have the ability to avoid serious health risks, reduce the virus's spread, and maximize our chances of returning to a normal college football experience and to normal life. With 6 weeks to go before kickoff, now is the time to seek that full vaccination, end quote. Now, Bo, I remember many times coming on and filling in for Dick Gabriel in the year of 2020 where we were just not sure what was happening. There was a new headline every day when it came to the world of sports. Would they be playing? Who would be playing? Who would be healthy enough to play? But it was Greg Sankey's leadership that I think rose above many others. It was his decision after the Pac-12 quickly decided that they were not going to be playing football. After the Big Ten jumped in with their decision and said, hey, we are not going to be playing football in the fall. It was Greg Sankey that preached patience and said, we're going to look at this from all different angles. We're going to look at the necessary protocol, what it would take, and then we would make a decision. Greg Sankey and his patience on that matter, I think, was the main reason why we had football at all. The main reason why the Big Ten came back to play. The main reason why we saw it go off so successfully as we did. So when we hear Greg Sankey say this, I think we have to take this and we say, Greg, you did good in the past. Let's see what you're doing now.
No question. Greg Sankey's leadership, I mean, he set the model for college football getting back with what he did with the SEC. College football and the fans owe him a huge thanks for what he did last year. And I agree with his leadership. I love the fact that he was just patient. We want to see how this thing plays out. If it wasn't for him, there wouldn't have been much of a college football season, especially in the SEC. So I'm thankful for his leadership and what he was able to provide last year. And I like what he did. And the fact that he quoted Bob Dylan a little bit was kind of cool. With
The times are changing.
Yes. Oh, that was neat.
See, I like this guy. I think he is doing a great job with the conference. A couple other notes that Greg Sankey did mention. 9 national champions in the year 2020 came from the conference of the SEC. 12 national players in the year of 2020 came from the SEC. Bo, get this one. 69% of players that have entered the transfer portal are still looking for a new school. As much as we've talked about player empowerment and how we would like to see players be able to move as freely as these coaches do, who make millions of dollars and give recruiting promises to kids and then leave for job opportunities at the next chance. It is a huge disadvantage for a lot of kids, I think, Bo. This is a subject that Michael DeCourcy had with myself and Dick Gabriel on this very show and really turned us around for the negative aspects of the transfer portal. And with this percentage, 69% of players that have entered the transfer portal are still looking for a new school, I think there are going to be a lot of kids that are hung out to dry looking for new opportunities. And finally, 80 current and former SEC athletes will compete in the Tokyo Olympics starting this week. That's right, 80 different current and former SEC athletes will take place. The Tokyo Olympics is set to start this Friday, but with the country of Japan in a state of emergency and them not accepting spectators anymore, we're seeing a rash of COVID-19 or athletes getting COVID-19 in the Olympic Village. It is my best guess if we even have the Olympics at this point. But some news out of the SEC media days with Greg Sankey making headlines. Coming up on the rest of the Big Blue Insider today at 6:30 p.m., the bottom of the hour, Maggie Davis is going to join us. She covers the Cats for BBN Tonight. She is a University of Kentucky journalism grad and a former KSR writer. She will join us at 6:30. And then coming up at 7 o'clock, Keith Madison, the old ball coach, will join us. He coached the UK men's baseball team from 1979 to 2003 and is the latest addition to the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. We'll talk to him at 7. We got a great show lined up for you. It's Bo Robinson and Billy Rutledge. Keep it locked where you got it, right here on the home of the Cats. News Radio, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Like a stone, or the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of the Big Blue Insider. I am Billy Rutledge, along with Bo Robinson. Give us a call. Join the show. The number is 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. A little bit later at the show, 7:30 p.m., we are going to hear from Chris Rodriguez. He joined Curtis Birch on the Behind Kentucky Football podcast. And Chris, who was nominated or named to the watch list for the Maxwell Award today. Had a lot to say. So we're going to hear from him a little bit later in the show. The Maxwell Award has been presented to the college football's best player since 1937. So high praise for the junior running back for Kentucky. But Bo, I want to spend this segment talking a little bit about professional football and the news regarding Monday Night Football. If you hated listening to the Monday Night Football broadcast as much as I have over the last couple years with Steve Levy and Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick, then you're happy with the news that came down from ESPN. Peyton and Eli Manning, that's right, the golden boys of NFL football, will headline a Monday Night Football megacast on ESPN2 and ESPN+ for three seasons through their new agreement. ESPN will produce it in conjunction with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions. It is slated for 10 games each season starting this year. Now, this is insane news right off the bat, guys. I mean, Peyton Manning could do anything he wants in this world. He could run for the Senate seat in the state of Tennessee. He could be the athletic director of the University of Tennessee. His next venture will be calling Monday Night Football games with his brother Eli Manning. They will be from a remote locations with celebrities that could join them, including iconic current players and former players. Airing on ESPN2 and ESPN+, it will be at the same time, in conjunction, complementary of the other broadcast. So you're still going to have the main broadcast on ESPN and ABC if you are big fans of Steve Levy and Brian Greasy and Lewis Riddick. But if you want a little bit more, you want to hear the Manning minds talking about the game, you can tune over to ESPN2. What do you think about this, Bo? Do you care what Peyton and Eli have to say about each Monday Night Football game this year?
Yeah, I do, to see if this is going to be successful as another alternative to broadcast. I think people want to be entertained more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely getting a player's aspect of it all. And from their perspective, being that it is Peyton and Eli, I think it's going to be interesting. I like it. I can't say the Kentucky fan of me. I can't say that I endorse Peyton Manning because he still played at Tennessee and because, you know, I'm hardcore about that.
Yeah.
And everything. Don't. But I think it's a great idea. I'm very excited to see how this is going to turn out and everything. But didn't Nickelodeon produce like an alternative broadcast for the Super Bowl?
Oh yeah, it was a huge success.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the catalyst for this a little bit.
I think it was a playoff game, actually. I don't think it was the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. It was a playoff game, mm-hmm. You know. So I think alternative forms of media and something like this, because we have a ton of options now and it's just getting more and more. I say go for it. If they can pull it off, I'll be watching.
The college football championship game is one that you see ESPN do this a lot with. They usually have a second channel and even the radio calls of each team. So you're right, Bo.
Well, and the NCAA tournament has done it too.
Yeah. So people are just looking for that kind of content. And I'm not sure if the SEC network has done this a lot, but I know the ACC network has done this kind of like watch parties where you have four guys who are in the studio and they are watching the game alongside with you. This seems like the same aspect, but you're doing it with Peyton and Eli Manning. And these guys are beloved. And these guys have been known for a while by these fans.
Right. So, and honestly, when I say I don't hate Peyton Manning, I don't complain about him or anything. I've got friends that do because he does play at Tennessee. But how long is it going to take for somebody to shoot their mouth off on Twitter and say, this is horrible?
Oh, the first night.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But, you know, I think that there will be a dynamic there that's missing in some of these broadcasts. You know, when you have Mike Golic Jr. and Mina Kimes and a former, you know, former player from that team that's on the television talking, you can get some good insight. But when you get these type of brothers who have been at the pinnacle of the sport for so long, when you get the SportsCenter commercial, when Peyton kicks Eli in the butt as he's walking down the hallway, everybody knows that commercial when they're walking down the hallway for SportsCenter. I think that's the type of dynamic that we might see when it comes to Peyton and Eli hosting Monday Night Football games. And for me, it just, thank God we don't have to listen to Steve Levy and Brian Greasy again. Like, even when it was Booger McFarlane and the Boogermobile, they can't get it right. Maybe they'll try it with the brothers, Peyton and Eli, and see, there you go. Bo knows what he's doing.
I know what I'm doing here.
We're going to take a break. This is the Big Blue Insider. Maggie Davis of BBN Tonight is next. Keep it locked. This is 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats. 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of the Big Blue Insider. I am Billy Rutledge in the big chair, along with Bo Robinson. Again, give us a call, 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. But before we go back to the phone line, we have someone on the celebrity hotline. It is Maggie Davis. She covers the Cats for BBN Tonight. She is also a UK journalism grad and former KSR writer. How are you, Maggie?
Hey, Billy, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. We had to have you back on after all the knowledge that you dropped on us last time. But
well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Before we start getting into the UK basketball team's roster management and a little bit about SEC Media Days, I saw that you were out there at Keene Trace covering the Barbasol Championship. Did you uncover any stories that were worth sharing here on the radio waves?
Hey, always, Billy. I always uncover stories that are good for the radio waves. You know that. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was out there for LAX 18 News. It really was my first golf event, attending, working, reporting on, all of that stuff. So I was pretty lucky to go out there with a really good crew. Of course, tried to find as many Kentucky connections as I could. I was there on Friday, which was Alumni Day. So talked to a lot of really nice UK fans. There is no other kind of UK fan, obviously. And so that was really fun. And then Logan Stinberg actually ended up being there, former Kentucky offensive lineman, now with the Detroit Lions, heading into his second year in the NFL. He was there. His cousin was actually competing. He's a professional golfer. So talked with Logan, caught up with him a little bit. That was really fun. Of course, anyone on the Big Blue Wall is always a UK fan favorite. Those are really the big UK connections. Obviously, the volleyball team made an appearance as well. When you're the national champion, you get to make an appearance as much as you can. They rolled up with the national championship trophy, I should say. So that was really fun. Talked to Azani Teeler for a little bit, and she is wonderful. Really looking forward to seeing what she does this upcoming season. So a lot of good UK connections and stories coming out of that were a little golf related, and then just UK athletics as a whole.
Well, it's nice to see that athleticism runs in the Stenberg family, and also the national championship tour for this volleyball team has just been a ton of fun, and some of the places they've shown up and popped up. But Maggie, let's get right into it. You know, SEC Media Days start today. I know BBN Tonight's got a lot of coverage of the ensuing days, July 19th to the 22nd. But we're expected to hear from Coach Stoops, Darian Kennard, and Josh Pascal for the UK team tomorrow. And it just seems like we're getting back to normal, doesn't it?
It really does. I've been watching the SEC Network's coverage all day, and it has been so great to see all the coaches, the players, so many media members down there, like you mentioned. BBN Tonight is down there. I am actually still in Lexington, but our show co-host, Anna Tarullo, is down in Hoover. So that's going to be fun. She's doing the show from down there the next couple of days. So shameless plug, tune in at 7:30 on LAX 18 News all week for the latest from Media Days, as per usual. But yeah, I mean, it should be fun. It's nice to hear, you know, the beginning of talking season, like we always say. We didn't really have that last year. Obviously, coaches and players always find a way to trash talk, especially when Twitter is so well utilized these days. But it's fun to see everybody together up out in the same room again. Paul Feinbaum's got his set up. You know, everybody's down there, and it's really fun, and it makes you feel like football is really close. I was thinking about this earlier today. It's not quite time, you know, to call up. It's football time in the bluegrass, but we're getting close, Billy. We really are, and that's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're not allowed to complain about summer days, long summer days anymore, Maggie. After the year that we went through in 2020, we could fill time about anything after going through a year without any sports. But
oh my gosh, yes.
You know that the questions really regarding this football team hover around the quarterback spot, whether it be Will Levis, the Penn State transfer that may start, or Bo Allen or Joey Gatewood. There seems to be a lot of questions around the most important position on the football team. So are you surprised that expectations are still so high with this club, Maggie, even with all these questions at quarterback?
I'm really not, and I think I'm not surprised. I guess I would say because of the other factors that are sort of playing into that excitement. I mean, I think in general, anyone going into a season after 2020 is excited, whether or not you have a new offensive coordinator or you have an exciting hometown transfer coming back to play for his hometown team. You know, take that side out of it, obviously talking about Liam Cohen and Wandell Robinson there, but just the idea that we're all going to be back together, Kroger Field is going to be full again, football is back, tailgating is back, I think that in and of itself is exciting. And I think you sort of add in these other components, like I mentioned, new offense, exciting, a wide receiver coming in, hopefully using the tight ends a little bit more. I know the BBN always wants to hear about that. And then a really experienced defense that Kentucky fans have really learned to expect from Mark Stoops and his program. So I think all of that sort of combined with this idea that, yeah, we're just excited to be back at a sporting event again is really what's feeding into that excitement. Of course, having a huge quarterback battle is just something to talk about. I don't know how much we'll actually find out before the first week of the official season, but for now, it certainly gives everyone something to talk about, you and me included. But in general, I think there's just a lot of excitement about sports and the fact that they're returning this year.
Well, hell, they could start a wide receiver at quarterback, Maggie, and I think this team could adjust and still do a pretty good job.
Kentucky would never do that.
Maybe speaking from experience here, but there are many different angles that we could take this UK football team and how much success that we think they're going to have. But I think we were pumping it up last year too, Maggie. I mean, let's call ourselves out a little bit. It was a 10-game season, but I was not expecting 4-6. I certainly wasn't. So I think that there is a point where Kentucky fans could become enamored, could become upset with Mark Stoops as he enters, what, year 8, year 9 here at Kentucky. It may take a lot for fans to get mad at Stoops. But Maggie, do you feel like that process would speed up if a guy like Vince Mero were to part with the team? I know Kentucky had to do a lot to keep him on the squad this year, but do you think that, you know, fans' criticism of Stoops could get harsher if his recruiting big dog eventually leaves?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I hadn't thought about how Vince, you know, potentially leaving somewhere down the line would affect the perception of Mark Stoops. Obviously, I think it would affect the staff in a lot of ways other than just, you know, everyone would miss the personality of Vince Mero, the big dog. But, of course, you know, he has such a big role as a recruiting member of the staff. He has such a big role with the current team, with the former team. You know, he's the NFL liaison, so he does a lot of work with those guys as well. So, obviously, it wouldn't necessarily feel like just one assistant coach leaving because he does fill so many different roles on this staff. And so I do think that fans love Vince Mero, understandably. He's a great guy. He's wonderful with the media, which is a big reason why the fans love him. He knows how to talk to a camera, and he knows how to talk to fans in real life, too. And you know, I don't know if it would affect how much sort of leash people give Mark Stoops, but I do think people would look at the staff differently without Vince Mero. Luckily, you know, like you said, Kentucky kind of ponied up, and we don't have to worry about that right now.
It's nice to have pretty much like three head coaches on the sideline, whether it be Brad White or Vince Mero. And with Stoops, it's all these football minds. You can see the programs going in the right direction. I'm just curious of the fan reaction and their susceptibility to criticism once a guy like Vince Mero leaves and they know that the recruiting classes could take a dip. But we will have to wait more than a year to answer that question because hopefully Mero is on the staff for longer than that. I do want to switch you over to basketball. We are speaking with Maggie Davis. You can follow her on Twitter at Maggie Davis TV, who is on BBN tonight with Lex 18. Maggie, the big news over the last month really has been Kofi Coburn and his decision, I guess, eventually now to return to Illinois. Kentucky was in the mix, but he decided he will come back to Illinois. And do you feel like it would have been a bad look if Kentucky would have taken Illinois' top two recruiters and then would have taken their best big man? Would that just been too bad of a look?
No, I don't think, you know, and I don't think Calipari cares if it's a bad look, especially after a 9-16 season. I really don't. And, you know, I think the saying is, you know, I'm not making this up myself, believe it or not. I think this is a saying, all is fair in love, war, and sports. And, you know, it is what it is. And sometimes the big dogs get to eat first, and that's what Kentucky basketball is. And if you have the resources and you have the personnel who can go out and recruit the top assistants and the top players, you have the right to do that. And Kentucky and John Calipari have earned that. Obviously, that's not what happened in this case with Kofi Coburn. We'll see if it happens again down the road with someone else, obviously, in future classes. You never know in terms of just pulling guys from different programs. If a guy is good enough to play Kentucky and Kentucky wants him to play at Kentucky, that might be a different story. But I think what we saw with Kofi Coburn was just not necessarily the player and the program on the same pages. And whether or not that's a mistake, you know, is to be determined. I think Kentucky's roster is pretty deep right now. The one place they are lacking a little bit is the five position with really just Oscar Tshiebwe to lean on. And than Damian Collins, who, of course, I think will be a good talent, but is just so young. He needs to bulk up a little bit. I will be honest in that regard. And, you know, it is what it is. If you never know when injury strikes or anything sort of in that realm. So, you know, you take what you get, and seems like Kentucky just feels like they're in a good enough place to not need him right now. And you just sort of have to hope that doesn't come back and bite them in the long run.
Yeah, and I like that attitude, Maggie. If you're a big dog and you can't handle, stay off the porch. I mean, this is all fair. And, you know, Orlando Antigua and Chin Coleman, I think those were the two biggest additions that Cal made in this offseason of additions. It really has been a lot of changes. It's amazing to me that it's July 19th. And there's still possibilities of changing with this roster. I mean, it's just a different time that we go into July and August and are still building the roster with this transfer portal and with, you know, just the fluidity of one and done. That's amplified at Kentucky. But I really feel like, Maggie, Kentucky has to re-recruit their roster almost every year.
Yeah, and they've really had to do that anyway. I think the transfer portal just sort of adds a different layer to that. I think the number Greg Sankey gave today was over 1,000 collegiate athletes are still in the transfer portal. If you missed it, it's the SEC commissioner talking at SEC Media Days, talking about all the changes that we've seen this year in college athletics. Obviously, name, image, and likeness is the one that's the most recent. That's the one we're talking a lot about right now. But the one-time transfer rule has been really just as massive and just as much of a change for college athletics programs. And I think, you know, you obviously see it with Kentucky in some ways. They're able to get guys, obviously not Kofi Coburn in this case, but we've seen a lot of other guys on the roster that would not have been immediately eligible. Think about Savio Wheeler and CJ Frederick, especially Kellen Grady. All those guys would not have been eligible. Obviously, grad transfers are a different story. But in terms of undergrad transfers, those guys wouldn't have come to Kentucky because they would have had to waste a year sitting on the bench. And when you see this one-time transfer rule go into effect like we are this season, obviously in every sport, not just basketball, but it does add a whole new layer on top of, like you mentioned, the one and done sort of era and just giving these guys more options. I think what we're seeing right now in college sports is just giving the players more control, whether that's, you know, their decision of where to go to college, when to stay in college, how long to stay in college, and the ability to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. Personally, I see both of those as positives. But if you're a program, especially like Kentucky or any big Power 5 program, you're the ones who are having to figure out the best way to make that work for your particular program. And I think Kentucky has the coaches and the staffs in place to make that work right now.
To your point, Maggie, the over 1,000 kids that are still in the transfer portal, that is 69% of players that have entered the transfer portal still looking for a new school. So Greg Sankey coming with some facts in the first day of SEC Media Day. But Maggie, I really appreciate you jumping on with us. Before I let you go, one more UK basketball question to test you on. What is realistic playing time for a guy like Dante Allen? With the additions of CJ Frederick and Kellen Grady, even Ty Washington, and Sevier Wheeler, the guard spot, the cupboard's a little full. So for the fan favorite Kentucky guy who played well in two games last year but really struggled in the rest, how do you feel like this minutes rotation will work out for him?
Well, based on the guys you just mentioned there, I think the ones you really have to look for in terms of, you know, you hate to say they're competing against each other. They're, of course, on the same team. They have the same main goal, but the two I think are competing against each other the most will probably be Dante Allen and CJ Frederick. I think Ty Washington will mostly be at the one, same for Savio Wheeler. Savio's not really as much of a shooter. I think Ty is doing really well in practice in terms of shooting. That's sort of how he was recruited. That's how he's developing in practice. And I think he'll kind of have that spot in terms of shooting. And Davion Mintz as well, sort of a similar role with the one kind of two spot there. Kellen Grady, I think, might be a slight notch ahead of those two guys in terms of being a little bit ahead of Dante and CJ right now. But, you know, it's early. It's the summer. Dante has a lot of Kentucky-specific experience under his belt. Kellen Grady and CJ Frederick have experience, obviously, at other institutions. Kellen at Davidson, CJ Frederick at Iowa. And I think a lot of it will depend on how they play next to guys like Ty Washington and Davion Mintz. How well are those guards gelling with who Kentucky is playing at point guard? And how well are they feeding off each other? And I think that's something that the coaching staff is just going to have to look at during practice and early into the season. Obviously, they're not going to get a really a soft launch with Duke and Madison Square Garden for the first game of the season. But In terms of minutes for the season, I think Dante's minutes will be probably similar to what they were last year. If you look at his actual like minutes per game, it seems a little bit higher than it really was, just because, you know, he had a lot of minutes in a few games. So if you kind of divide that up, it ends up being, you know, a reasonable number for a guy like that who's kind of a catch-and-shoot guy. And we'll see if Dante can develop his game into something other than just being a catch-and-shoot guy. I think that is how he could earn himself some extra minutes.
Well, I completely forgot about Davion Mitz, Maggie. I mean, this is the team's leading scorer that's coming back. And I can't
right.
say I am happy for him to come back and to experience the true Rupp Arena. When he had about five or six threes in a row and just really wasn't same, he was screaming into the crowd, I was happy. I'm happy to see him coming back because I think he'll get the right experience this time.
Totally agree. And he was one of the guys last year that just covering that team, I really did feel the most for, because he transferred to Kentucky for that experience. And every time I talked with him then and even now, so much of what he talks about Kentucky is the fans and wanting that experience of being with the Big Blue Nation and seeing a sold-out Rupp Arena and just feeling that sort of madness. And he really got none of that last year. So I'm excited to see, obviously, how he does on the court this year, but on sort of a more personal level, I'm excited for him to get that opportunity to really feel like a member of the Kentucky family, which I think is really important to a guy like him.
You can watch her tonight on BBN tonight on Lex 18, or follow her on Twitter at Maggie Davis TV. Maggie has been our guest. Thank you so much, Maggie, and excited to have you on again sometime.
Thank you, Billy, so much. I appreciate the time.
All right, there you go, Maggie Davis, doing the God's work, covering the Cats for BBN tonight. We're going to take a break. When we come back, answering your phone calls and much more regarding name, image, and likeness. This is Billy Rutledge and Bo Robinson. It's the millennial version of the Big Blue Insider right here on News Radio 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
See, even I get rusty over here, Bo. Didn't have the microphone button to push down, just like Dick didn't on the first day he was back in studio. Glad
you know, I saw your head nodding, and I could tell you were talking. And I looked, I just barely looked up over the computer screen and realized, okay, the green light's not on. His mic's not on.
I'm enjoying the music, Bo. I was into
hey,
it.
Hey, just didn't got paid by ZZ Top, man. It's one of my favorites.
Big thanks to Maggie Davis, who just joined us. You can follow her on Twitter, at Maggie Davis TV. And coming up at 7 o'clock, the old ball coach Keith Madison is going to join us, the former head coach of the UK men's baseball team from 1979 to 2003. That's 25 years, and he is now the newest member of the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. We'll talk to Keith next about some of his favorite memories as the time as the old ball coach here at Kentucky, and maybe about some of the things that are happening in Major League Baseball today. But, Bo, before we hit the top of the hour break, let's talk a little bit about name, image, and likeness and how it's starting to seep its way into college athletics. You know, we're waiting for college athletics as a whole to be turned upside down by this, whether it be name, image, and likeness, the one-time transfer portal, all the doom and gloom that we heard leading up to this. I was loud and proud. So let's listen to some of these examples so far that what we've gotten, Bo. The first is from Texas A&M, where two Texas A&M football players, Isaiah Spiller and Damani Richardson, are set to earn $10,000 apiece for exclusive interviews that will be posted to an Aggie-centric fan website. That's texags.com. The deal reached under the new NIL rules will be sponsored by Greenprint Real Estate Group. $10,000 a piece, Bo, for a fan site interview. Couple questions here. Number one, how does the real estate group benefit from this? Because they're the ones shelling out 20 grand. I guess it's the fact, the free marketing of us talking about their real estate group on the air in Kentucky. Like, that's going to do any well. But number two is, am I going to pay $20,000 for coach speak? Am I going to get sit these guys down for an hour-long interview And I'm going to get the same routine that we get for all these press conferences, for all the SEC media days. Yeah, we played tough. Yeah, we're gonna fight together as a team. You know, we're just working hard, getting up early in the weight room.
Well, these dudes have got to be a hell of an interview.
They better be exposing coaches' secrets for
$10,000. Give me something I'm going to click on, okay?
They better tell me what Jimbo Fisher does at 4 a.m. in the morning.
And whoever's paying that, they must have a lot of money.
They have to. This is Texas, right? This is
there you go.
The state of football. Football is a religion. So $20,000 to get some interviews from players is nothing, especially if we. You never want to speculate on the radio, but you got to think there's a little cheating going on here.
Well,
all these boosters.
I was going to say next week, the big sports card convention up in Chicago, Oklahoma quarterback Spencer Rattler, he's going to be the first one to have a major public signing for $150 each.
Wow. How about that? Spencer Rattler cashing in as well. We'll continue the name, image, and likeness conversation a little bit later. When we come back, Keith Madison will be next here on News Radio 630 WLAP.